people say that this coming Motzoi Shabbos we're going to start reciting Slichas. That's a very improper verb to use. You don't recite Slichas, you pray Slichas. You don't say, I'm reciting the Shemoneh Esrei, I'm davening, I'm praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Slichas is a tefillah. Just like the Gemara learns that from Sukkim and Chumash, and the Rambam records this in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, that this is a din d'oraisa. The Rambam's opinion is that the obligation to daven is min haTorah once a day, every day. We also b'chotchem, so the Gemara in Ferdafentayna says, avodah shebelev is tefillah. So the Rambam understands that that's an obligation once a day, every day to daven. How did he know it's once a day, every day? So the Stipler writes, probably based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak, but the Gemara says that the obligation on the Kohanim to Duchen is only once a day, every day, even if they're called upon. If you don't call upon them, they're not obligated to Duchen at all. If you do a request of the Kohanim that they should Duchen, Amar Lahem, Amar Lahem means when we request, Boshe Pshat, Amar Lahem means Kos Varuch Hazbana Yisrael, the Kohanim should say the Baruch Amar Lahem, the Kohanim should say to the Tzibur. So the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation, like it says in Targum Onkelos, Katem Rolon, we, Amar Lahem, when the Israelim request of the Kohanim that they want a bracha, then the Kohanim are obligated to recite the bracha. That's how it says in the Targum Onkelos on that pasuk. That's why many say that the Targum Onkelos is supposed to be Pshuta Shal Mikra, not supposed to have drushes of the Torah Shal Mikra. So many say that that word is a misprint in the Targum Onkelos. It shouldn't say Kat Tem Rolon. The word Kat doesn't belong, it should say Tame Alahon, because Unkel is supposed to give Pashabshah. That's supposed to give all the additional levels of interpretation. That's what they quote Rab Zalmala Balojana. The brother of Rab Chaim Balojana said that the word Kad is a mistake in the Targum Onkelos there. The next Pasuk happens to be Pasuk Chav Dalet. They said the Chav Dalet, the printer, the Chav Dalet floated up into the middle. It's not supposed to say Kad Tame Alahon, it should say Tame Alahon. But that is the drush of the Torah Shemal Peh. That Amor Lahem means the Kohanim are obligated to Duchen when we request of them that they should give us a bracha. So the Gemara says, what if he davens the Kohen davens by the first minyan? Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, they Duchen every day. So the Kohen davens by the first minyan, he Duchen, is he ready to leave? And then the second minyan doesn't have a Kohen. So they say, we need you, go Duchen. So he Duchen the second minyan. Then the third minyan needs it. So he won't be able to go to work. He has to stand the Duchen by every minyan every time they request of him. So the Gemara says, you're not mechayev to Duchen more than once a day, every day. With the Rabbanon, they were mechayev the Kohen to Duchen five times a day, on Yom Kippur, Shachris, and Musaf, and Mincha, and Nila, four times a day, mechayev to Duchen four times a day. And the different tefillahs, that's with the Rabbanon. And I tell them, mechayev. Okay, by Mincha, we don't request of him, right? We don't have Mincha, yeah.
This party meeting, sometimes we don't have a Kohen. Should we go outside and like get a Kohen from Ashkenazim?
You should try to, because the correct practice is to have a duchening. Here in the neighborhood, there are some of the shuls who have a minyan, but they don't have a kohen, so they always request of a different shul where they have more than enough kohanim. They'll always ask one or two of them to come to their minyan. The proper thing is you should try to arrange for it, if the kohen will agree to daven in this Friday's minyan. Okay? So just like the Gemara says that the obligation to duchen is only once a day, every day, min haTorah. So too the Rambam understood. Whenever there's a Gemara, the Rambam extrapolated, but not Gemara, whenever there's an obligation in the Chumash to observe a certain mitzvah, and it's unclear how often the mitzvah has to be observed, so it's understood that it's once a day, every day. So the Rambam writes that the obligation to daven is once a day, every day. The Rambam holds that that's min haTorah. Chiyuv tefillah, once a day, every day. When the Gemara says tefillah is the Rabbanan, that means the particular text that we use, the Nusach HaTefillah, is the Rabbanan, and the obligation to daven, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, all the additional tefillahs, that's min the Rabbanan. But the daven, once it every day, Rambam holds that that's min haTorah. So the Rambam also writes, when he starts off Hilchas Tefillah, that part of the din d'oraisa is, there's a specific seder for the tefillah. You have to start off with Shevach, and you have to conclude with Hodoyah. Then in the middle, you offer the bakoshes. The essence of the tefillah really is the bakoshes. But the Erech Eretz dictates, you can't just start off with the bakoshes. You can't start off, first you have to say, that's the first bakosha that we have in the Shemoneh Esrei. So first you have to say, l'keinu kevesein, hakel ha'gadol, ha'gidol ha'noyram, ha'gin avron, ha'chayam eisam, ha'kel ha'kodesh, You give shevach, and then you start. Then atachen ladam das is shevach. Then chanenim yitcha is the first bakasha that you have. Bakasha starach. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim and the Rambam assumes that's a real drasha gemur deraisa, that derech eretz dictates you should open the tefillahs with shevach and conclude with haidoya, voidem anachnu loch. And in the middle, you fulfill the ikka mitzvah of tefillah, of the bakasha starachim. That's what we said from our Moshe Feinstein. He asked the kasha on Shabbos. You leave out all the 13 middle brachas. So how are you in fulfillment of the obligation to daven min haTorah? You have the shevach and you have the haidoya at the end, but you don't have the bakasha. The bakasha starachim, that's the essence of the tefillah. So the Rambam says, you mechuyav to daven once a day, every day. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not yotze the mitzvah of davening. The Moshe Feinstein answers that it's not true. If you look in the text in the Siddur, the concluding paragraph in the middle bracha of the Kedusha Sayyam always has the Bakasha Sarachim. Says Alakein Kavaseinu Ritzebim Lechoseinu Kadoshenu Mitzvah Secha Sein Chalkein B'sar Secha. That's the Bakasha Sarachim. We ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs, to all of our spiritual needs. He should accept our observance of Shabbos. He should sanctify us. So Moshe says we leave out the bakashas terachim about gashmias, about refuah, about parnasa, about shiduchim, other things. We only concentrate on ruchnias dika bakashas terachim. But if you wouldn't have the bakashas terachim, then you wouldn't have the tefillah. The whole essence of the tefillah is the middle part, the bakashas terachim. So when you daven, you always have to start off. That's a din deras. You have to start off with shevach. Then you have, so strictly speaking, when you say the Gimel Rishonis, the first three brachas of the Shemana Esri, before you start Chananim Yitcha De'abina V'haskel, that's the beginning of Shevach. We have added on that we recite Bichos Kriya Shema has a lot of Shevach, and then the Psuka de Zimmer is also the early Misad Aram Shvach HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'achakach Yispala. So that's exactly what we do when we... It's not a good idea to use the word when we say slichas, when we recite slichas, when we daven the slichas. We start off with shevach. We start off with ashrei. Just to start the ikar, many rishonim hold the ikar of psukah de zimmer is really ashrei. As little children, they shouldn't, but they taught us that if you come late to shul, so you can abridge the psukah de zimmer. So they said baruch shama ashrei yishtabach, because that's what rov rishonim hold. That's psukah de zimmer is ashrei. You should really say more. There are other Bishanim hold that more is Ma'akev, but bottom line, Paskan Ashrei is Ma'akev. So we say Ashrei when you start Slichas on Matzoi Shabbos, and then the other days of Slichas, you say Ashrei. Then you say Shemea Tfila Dach Kabosa Yevo. It's also a Likot Apsukim Mitzol Shevach. And then in the middle, you have the Iker is the Bakosha. We ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Slach Lavinik Yochotan Machalan Malkeni Kifoshan. We ask for the Slicha. And then at the end, we say Tachnun, like after Shachris and Mincha, you say Tachnun. Myriv, we have a reason why we don't say Tachnun, because Midas Adin, Shadda Balaylo, Shabbos and Yontav, we don't want to say Tachnun, okay? But basically, whenever you finish davening, you're supposed to say Tachnun. The same is true by the Slichas, we say Tachnun at the end. And then we say Kaddish Tiskabel at the end. But even if you don't have Asher, you don't have Adon Olam. Adon Olam is also Shevach. Even if you don't have either, but Shmei Tefillah Dachah Kabosa Yavayu is also Shevach. So that's Yolam Yakdal Shvacha Shal HaKadosh Bocha V'achakach Yispal. This is when you say Slichas before Rosh Hashanah, or from Rosh Chodesh Elul, or soon before Rosh Hashanah, or in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Or on Leil Yom Kippur. Leil Yom Kippur, the Slichas are not recited in the middle of the Shemana Esrei because there is no Chazoras HaShatz. So the Slichas are standing alone. So you start off with Shemea Tefillah Decha Kabosa Yevoyu. In many of the Machzorim, most of the Machzorim they have on Leil Yom Kippur, that you start Yala Tachmineinu Me'erev first. And after you say Yala is already a Bakosha. Kodesh Baruch Hu should accept that prayer. Only after that you start saying Shemea Tefillah Decha Kabosa Yevoyu. So Rav Soloveitchik, in his minyan, he reversed it. He thought that more correct is to start off with Shemea Tefillah, because that's the Seder of Tefillah. So he's supposed to start with Yisad Orem Shochel Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'achakach Yispal. So V'yala Tachna Neinu Me'erev, V'yobu Shal HaSeinu Me'boikir, is already a Bakosh. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayer. So that should really be later. And one of his, he used to give a lot of drushes, and I say it's my tshuva for many years. One of the drushes, defended the Minhag HaOlam that you say Yalla first, even before he said Shema Tefillah, but he didn't change his practice in his minyan in Boston. He felt that on Leil Yom Kippur you should start from Shema Tefillah first, and then say Yalla Tachnunenu.
Where's the Hodah after the
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure. But on Yom Kippur, when you say the Slichas in the Chazaras HaShatz, in the Ila, everybody says Slichas, or what used to be the Minig in the days of the Goanim and the days of Rishonim, they used to say Slichas, and many still say, you say Slichas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, and Musaf and Mincha as well. The Rishonim just discussed how many times they repeat Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Echanun. So they have different Minhagim from the days of the Goanim, from the days of the Bali Atos, so 7 times, 8 times, 12 times, whatever. So in Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and the Ila, where the Slichas is in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, so he already said the Gimel Rishonis. So he already said, Yisad Arm Shvachah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gimel Rishonis is all about. So then, when the Slichas are recited on Yom Kippur in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, they start right away with Slach Lon Avinu Kechatanam Chalanam Alkeinu Kifo Hashem. There's no need to begin with Shemea Tefila Adecha Kabasa Yivo. You already said the Yisad Arm Shvachah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on Leil Yom Kippur, when the Slichas are not recited in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, there is no Chazaras HaShatz by Ma'ariv. So then you're supposed to start with the Shevach. Well, you don't say Ashrei, but you say Shemea Tefillah, and so on.
You said before that you don't stop on that because it's the Midas HaDin Shaletas, but then why are we saying Slichos? Because we say it's an Yitzhak Rasson at night. How does that show?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know exactly the answer. Yeah, we our minig. Many have the minig the way it says in Shulchan Aruch that you say slichas after chatzos alive the second half of the night. So this is based on a passage in the Zohar. This is not based on the Gemara. Based on the Gemara, in the beginning of brachas, the Gemara says the night is a machlekes hatanaim. Whether the night is divided into 3 mishmaras or into 4 mishmaras, so we assume it's divided into 3 mishmaras. Then the Gemara says. In other words, the first mishmer is 4 hours, second mishmer 4 hours, the third mishmer is 4 hours. So 4 hours after, let's say, for argument's sake, sunset is 7 o'clock. We go on daylight savings time, so 6 o'clock is really 7 o'clock by us. So 4 hours after 6 o'clock is 10 o'clock. So 10 o'clock, that's when the mishmaras are mischalfos. So based on the Gemara, when the mishmaras are mischalfos, that's when it's an eis rotzen to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's why in Europe there were places that they said slichas, they didn't have daylight saving time. But there were places that they said slichas at 10 o'clock or they said at 2 o'clock in the morning. In Shulchan Aruch they have adopted the position of the Zohar that the slichas should be recited El Chatzos HaLaila. Yeah, and if people want to observe the minig now to say when the Mishmar is on Mischalfos, so if you have daylight saving time, so 10 o'clock should be translated into 11 o'clock, approximately 4 hours after the beginning of the night. You have to divide. When are the Mishmaras Mischalfas?
So according to the Gemara, you can say that any time that the Mishmaras are not Mischalfas?
When the Mishmaras are Mischalfas, that's when it's an Eis Ratzon. That's when the Ribbon Shalom is crying why he destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, and that's considered an Eis Ratzon. The Ribbon Shalom is in a soft mood, so to speak. So he'll listen better to the Tfilos. So that's what the Slichas are all about. The Gemara says, Vayabar Hashem upon Vayikro. What does it mean? Malamish and Esata b'Kadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Rabbanu Shalom appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in a vision. The Mara Hanavur, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have a body, he can't wear a talis, but he appeared in a vision to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he in the vision he was wearing a talis, and he recited Hashem Hashem Kal Rachum Echanu. Rabbanu Shalom recited Hashem Hashem Kal Rachum Echanu, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kol man shabane choytim yasu lefani kiseidur azev ani moichal lahem." Why did the Chazal give this interpretation? Because they had a tradition, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, says that it doesn't make sense, but Derech HaTeva, that Bnei Yisrael should have sinned with the Chet HaEgel. After experiencing Esa Makas and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Maimon Hasina with the Gilu Shechina, how can a person, Derech HaTeva, how can he have a Havamina to worship Avodah Zarah, to make an Egel Azal? The whole thing doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a tradition, that the Ribbono Shalom suspended their Bechira Chavshis and he caused them to sin. Ribbono Shalom caused them to sin. Why in the world did he do that? Why did he cause them to sin? To teach the lesson of tshuva. Then the Gemara has such a tradition regarding David HaMelech also, that David HaMelech is really a tzaddik. So Ribbono Shalom suspended his Bechira Chavshis and caused him to sin with Basheva, Laharis Tshuva LeYochid, and the Chet HaEgel was Laharis Tshuva LeRav. So that's what the Gemara, it's part of that tradition. The Gemara had that tradition. Yava Hashem upon him, Eikod, the Rabban Shalom appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, B'mar HaNevuah, and he told them, Kaz Macha Bane Choytim, Yasa Lefani Kiseidu Hazeh, Bani Mechalehen. That was the whole purpose of the whole Chet HaEgel, was to teach this lesson, how to recite Slichas. The Gemara never says that they recited Slichas, but Rav Soloveitchik said he gets the impression from that Gemara. Lam she nesatu HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. And he said, Kaz Macha Bane Choytim, you should do it like this. It's, you get the impression from the Gemara that they had the practice of reciting Slichas as well. And at Tanya Sibur, whenever it was, they recited Slichas.
And what does it mean, sort of, at different times?
I don't know what it means, but the Gemara talks about such a thing, so apparently there is such a thing. I don't know. Gemara has the comment on the Pasuk in Yishai, Dirshu Hashem Dehimot, so we should search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of the year when he's more readily available. So the Gemara has the tradition. Elo asar yam shabein Rosh Hashanah le Yom HaKippurim. Then Aseres made sure that the Baruch Shalom makes himself more easily available. So apparently there is such a thing. So there's such a thing as an Eis Ratzon. Such a thing as an Eis Ratzon. So according to the Zohar, it's Yefta Chatzoy Salai. In the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
I didn't ask on Shabbos,
is it improper to say like Tehillim
and
the Tzibur
for certain things, or is that
violating the Hagadah Yom Tzibur Kashas? Yeah, it's not right to say Mishaber for Chayla on Shabbos. That's a Trina. You're not allowed to say unless he's a Chodesh Yeshba. But a kid has a bellyache, someone else has a pink eye or something. So they go to the Gabbai and he says, oh, this is the Mishaber for everybody under the sun. So that's not right. So he adds on Shabbos Himilizak. If it's a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, you don't have to add on Shabbos Himilizak. When you talk Lashon Hara, so then you say, you have to say at the end, but I'm not allowed to say this. Or if you talk business on Shabbos, and then you say, Nishtam Shabbos Giret. You got to say something. So when you say Mishaberach for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, so that's permissible. So you don't have to justify it. When you say Mishaberach for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, then you have to add on Shabbos Himilizak. We really shouldn't be talking about this on Shabbos. Yeah. That's the minute, yeah.
Since somebody who had cancer a year ago and now he's walking around fine, is that called a Cholash Yesh B'Sakana? Like, I mean, this Mishabera on Shabbos.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, he's, the story's not finished. They still told me his treatment, whatever, but he's in that.
I mean, he's still having treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he doesn't have the treatment, then it's going to...
Well, we don't know.
Then it's a suffix sakana. Okay, then it's a suffix sakana. Yeah. At the end of the slichas, it's printed in many of the Sefer HaSlichas that we ask the angels to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam on our behalf. Machnisa Arachmim, we ask the angels they should bring our prayers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this is known as the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim. Originally, there were two different yeshivas that joined together. One was Eitz Chaim, one was Yeshivas Abietz Kochanan on the east side, and then they joined together. And on the emblem of YU still has Eitz Chaim, still says it there, still has the name. Eitz Chaim is the name of the yeshiva in Volozhin. So this yeshiva officially carries over traditions, the Lithuanian traditions from Volozhin yeshiva. Some of them they do carry over, some of them they don't carry over. They close Volozhin because of secular studies. They're not closing over here because of the secular study. It's not really true. They didn't close because of the secular study. If you read the books, it's not really true. The Russian government, what they massed to the, there was a machlokes in the yeshiva. So the students who were upset massed to the Russian government that it's a hotbed of revolutionaries there. So they closed down, they caused them to close the yeshiva because they thought they were trying to make a revolution against the government. But it wasn't closed because of secular studies. They were insisting they should have so much secular studies. There was hardly any learning. They locked the Beis Medrash at night, and they only allowed 2-3 hours a day to learn. So they made it ridiculous. So there was a whole machlokes among the Rabbanim, what to do. So many Rabbanim, including Dor Sameach, he was the one who invited all the people to come to the big meeting when they discussed the Dor Sameach. It's better to have a yeshiva where they learn 2 hours a day than to have nothing. It's better than nothing. And the Netziv and Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, who was married to the Netziv's granddaughter, were the Korosh Yeshiva at the end. And they felt that it's not right that you have to close the yeshiva. So how can you call this a yeshiva If they only learn 2-3 hours a day, and the rest of the day, Beis Medrash is locked, and they have seconds, then that's why they close. Anyway, so in Valozhin, he used to follow a lot of traditions from Rav Chaim Valozhin, who founded the yeshiva from the Vilna Gaon. So this is one of Rav Chaim Valozhin. He said you shouldn't say Machnisei HaRachamim, because many Rishonim comment on the Mishnah Brachas, and the same Mishnah appears in Masechas Megillah. Mishnah appears twice in Shas. The Mishnah says, "Oimer, one who tells someone else, 'Yibarchucha Toivim, Mishaskin also.'" So what do the words mean? You should scream at the guy, tell him you're not allowed to talk like that. What did he say? Yibarchucha Toivim. What does it mean? Mishaskin also. So Rashi has a pshat. "Oimer, Yibarchucha Toivim," he says to the Baruch Shalom, those who ate Kidei Seviya should bench. Or he says, only Tzadikim have the right to daven. Yibarchucha Toivim. Tzadikim should have the right to daven. So Mishaskin also, the Rishoyim have a right to daven also, and even the people who didn't eat Kidei Svi are obligated to bench Midi Rabbanon. So those are two pshatim that Rashi has. And then the Meiri has 6 pshatim on the Mishnah. These are 2 of the 6 pshatim. So one of the additional pshatim that it has, so very unclear, what the Gemara never explains what it means. So the Meiri has another pshat, if I say the good angel should bless you, so that's Mishaskin also, because we never ask the angels to help us out. We pray directly to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's not permissible to ask the angels for anything. So that's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim disagree. Rashi and the Gemara Sanhedrin learns in the Gemara. He interprets the Gemara. You should ask the angels to help you out and bring your prayers to heaven. But because of this, Meiri said, that's why they quote from Abchaim Valozhin that he left out Bachuni Lushalem on Friday night. He felt that it's not right to ask the angels for a blessing, and we shouldn't say Machnisa harachmim either. So the Chasam Seif and the Chubei writes that they say the Slicha so quickly and he doesn't have time to say everything anyway and you have to leave something out. So he always happens to leave out Machnisa harachmim. He always leaves that out. But he didn't tell the Chazan to leave it out. He didn't tell the Tziba to leave it out. Could be. I don't remember.
What about asking for a bracha from like a human being? Isn't that, why would that be any different
from human beings? That's good. The Gemara says, Yelechatz al-Chacham. Mishesh l'chala b'soch beis. If someone is sick, you should go to a Chacham. He should be mispal. But to go to the Malachim, that's machlaik is a Rishayim, whether that's proper or not.
What about Yaakov?
Right. I don't know. He wrote essays about this. Different generations, they write essays about this to explain all the psukim and Tanakh that seem to contradict this. Anyway, but here in Yeshiva, that's basically the meaning. Also, in the, I think in the middle of Ne'ilah, we have one of the piyutim that you say is you speak to the Midas HaRachmim. The Midas HaRachmim should. Midas HaRachmim Halenu His Galgali. The Midas HaRachmim should pray to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on our behalf. So Rav Chaim Valozhin left that out also. We don't speak to the Midas HaRachmim. So either you leave it out or you correct the text.
Well, we allowed to speak to dead people to speak on our behalf?
No, not supposed to speak to dead people either. When you go to the cemetery, so the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Tainus that on a Tainus Sibu you're supposed to visit the cemetery. So the Gemara gives 2 reasons. One reason is that the Mason should be Mevakshim Rachmim Aleinu, okay? They see that we're here, they should be or in the Schus, we should pray, in the Schus of the Tzadikim who are buried here, the Baruch Shem should give us a Yeshua. And if that's the reason why, then the whole idea of visiting a cemetery means if it's a Jewish cemetery where you have Tzadikim buried. The Gemara gives another reason, that even if there's no Jewish cemetery, if it's only a non-Jewish cemetery, still is an idea of visiting a cemetery on a Tainus Sibur. A person should realize he's also going to die. Someday he's going to be buried here. So why should he sin? He's only here for a short period of time. It doesn't pay to sin. So that's what's in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should always try to visit Beis HaKvaris on a Tainus Sibur, Tisha B'Av and Sar B'Tavis and so on, if it's not too far away. And L'chatchila should be a Jewish cemetery where you have tzaddikim. And if you can't get a Jewish cemetery, so you settle for a non-Jewish cemetery as well.
So why is it worse to ask a dead person than a live person?
I don't know. To ask a live person, that's a significant inyan. The Gemara talks about that. To ask dead people, it sounds like Dorish Olam Mesim. As if the Mesim have power. The living people don't have power either. they offer a prayer to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. They give a bracha, which is basically also a prayer. But we don't want to be Dorish Alameis, we don't want to make a whole religion as if we're deifying the dead. So then the Gaon's father passed away a long time ago, not recently, and he went, after his father died, he went to visit the grave, and then he had a dream. His father appeared to him in a dream. The father told him, he gave him a big nachas ruach by visiting his grave, but he should know that it had a detrimental effect on his soul, on the Lonely Gaon's soul. So that was it. So he never again visited the father's grave.
What does it mean?
Not familiar? Don't know what it means. So that many have such a tradition from the Vilna Gaon that you don't go visit the Beis HaKvaros. Our religion emphasizes living. We don't make such a big tzimis about dead. And so by some Jews in America, that's the whole religion. Shiva and Kaddish and Yahrzeit and Yiska, and that's the whole religion. It has to do with the dead. So as a reaction to that, so Rav Chaim Volozhin's practice was, it has nothing to do with the dead. You don't visit the cemetery at all. Okay, different traditions.
Why didn't the Rav change his shita after his wife passed away?
He didn't change his shita. He was so attached to his wife. He said he never used to go visit his parents' grave. His parents are buried here in New York. He said he never visited because of this tradition from Volozhin, from the Vilna Gaon. But he was so attached to his wife, he used to go visit his wife's grave every week. He said he violated the family tradition. He said it was wrong. Didn't change his mind. He said it was wrong. He just said it paid off. He told the students it paid off. He told the story that once before Rosh Hashanah, he was in the cemetery in Boston visiting his wife's grave, and then he was about to leave, and there was a taxi waiting outside to take him home. And a man walked in with his wife, and he thought Rabbi Soloveitchik was a shamus. So he asked him, "Could you say a prayer at my father's grave?" So he said, "Okay." So he shows him where the father's grave, and he said a prayer. Then he says, "His uncle is buried over there. Can you say a prayer about my uncle's grave?" He says, "Over there." Then he says, "His grandfather's buried over there." He says, "A third prayer." Then he gave Rabbi Soloveitchik $20, and he said, "Thank you very much." So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave back the money, and he said, "Have a good year. It's okay. I don't need the money." So he thought he probably wanted more money, so he gave him a $100 bill. So he gave him back the $100 bill. So the person thought, "What does he want? He wants $1,000 bill." So he didn't understand. He took back the money, didn't know it. So then when Rabbi Soloveitchik left, so this man noticed that there was a taxi waiting for him. So he realized that he's not a shamus. He went into the office and he asked, "Who's that person who just went in the taxi?" He said, "Oh, that was the chief rabbi of America." So he found out. So he said, that was before Rosh Hashanah. So he said, a week later, before Yom Kippur, there was a thank you note in the mail with a $1,000 check for Maimonides school, for Rabbi Soloveitchik's yeshiva. They were conservative people. He says, and every year, and Aseres Meitshuva, this person would send a $1,000 check to my mom. And so Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he violated the family tradition, but it paid off. So Dr. Lamb once heard the story. He said, "Nobody ever gave me $1,000 for saying a Kelmali Rachman. Got to know how to say it." Okay, so we have an old minig of slichas, probably for sure from the times of the Gemara, probably from the days of the Tannaim. The slichas that you say at the end, the easy Hebrew, those are the ones that appear in the Mishnayos and Tainus. Those are the most important slichas, the ones at the end that are in the easy Hebrew. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a common practice that we do HaTorah Nedarim. We want to enter the year with a clean slate. We shouldn't be bound by any Nedarim. It's easy to, the Pasuk says, a person takes a net and he doesn't pay it up, so it's a serious other. So you want to pater ourselves from this. Rabbi Soloveitchik had the practice that instead of reciting the whole Nusach Shimon Rabbi Sadayana Mimchen that's printed in the Siddur, he just used to say Bekitzer. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, he said, "I have a minig to stand for Chazaras Hashatz and to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. And it's a minig toiv, and I don't have charata that I had the minig, but I have charata that I didn't say b'li neder, and I'm afraid I won't be able to observe the minig," because he was getting older, deep into his 80s, he was still standing for the whole Chazaras Hashatz on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the whole Machzor Chen Hashavis with his 2 feet together, standing the whole time. So every year he would make HaTorah Nedarim for that minig. So he told us that on one occasion, he had to come some European balabatim, and he explained what he wants HaTorah Nedarim for. So the Balabas says, that's what it's all about. He thought it has something to do with bad dreams. Because Hataras Nedarim is on the page after Hataras Chalayim. Because everybody says in the Hebrew, so the Balabas always said, Mutalach, Mutalach, he never knew what he was talking about. That's not a Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim, you have to know what you're talking about. So it's a good thing Rabbi Soloveitchik said it in English, and the Balabas found out what it means, yeah. Strictly speaking, you can only make Hataras Nedarim. The Gemara says, Adin Medir Rabban, and it's not Adin Medir Hatar. A person wants Hataras Nedarim, you need Pirat HaNedar. You have to say what the Nedar was and what motivated you to say the Nedar. When we make Hataras Nedarim on Erev Hashanah, we don't do Pirat HaNedar. So the Gemara says the reason why you have to have Pirat HaNedar to say what the Nedar was and to say what motivated me to take the Nedar is that he may have taken a Nedar not to run around with the next door neighbor's wife. So now you're matter the Nedar, so he's going to go sin. We took a Nedar not to drink, not to gamble, not to play cards. Maybe you took a Nedar to observe, not to violate an Avera. So you're not allowed to be matter such a Nedar. And not all the Nedarim lend themselves to Hatar. So that's why the meaning is that you say, we're afraid we took someone in the dorm, we don't remember what they are. We're only asking for Hatar, and those in the dorm that lend themselves to Hatar. So that's the meaning. Even though you need Pirat HaNedar, so we explain why we don't need Pirat HaNedar over here. There are a lot of tainis against the text that's printed in the Siddur Shimon HaRabbai. Said, Dayanim Mumchim, what they have smicha. Dayanim, the word Mumchim means you have smicha. Why are they Dayanim Mumchim? And then you say, or any minig tov shenahakte alatz misholosh pamim, any minig tov that I did three times. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you observe the minig tov once, and you plan to continue to do it, it's already binding mitam minig. You only have to do three consecutive times. If he observed the minig once or twice, he wasn't thinking one way or the other whether he wants to continue to do it. Then if he does it three times in a row, so then it's indicative, it's machshavta nikeres mitoch ma'asav, that he seems that he plans to continue to do like that. Then you need shalosh pamim. But if he observes a minig tov once and he plans to continue to observe it, so it's already binding. So some of the pots were not happy about that. Why you say minig tov? Then it says, afil in the zira shimshon. So all the achrayim ask, it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Gemara, you can't be mata in the zira shimshon. You can be mata ned in the zira, but you can't be mata in the zira shimshon. So some leave it out, and some say, minatari, you can't be mata in the zira shimshon. A lot of tightness against the text, the way it says. But anyway, that's the meaning is that we do Hataras Nedarim. It says in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei, when you do Hataras Nedarim, you don't have to be matir one person at a time. You can have 10 people standing together. They can all request the Hataras Nedarim. And then the Bezin should say, Mutalachem. Instead of saying, Mutalach, 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 you say, Mutalachem, and Shem. A lot of times it takes an awful lot of time. You're going to do each person individually. So it's really recommended, the way we have the minig, that everybody does Hataras Nedarim Erev Hashanah. So it makes more sechel that you should be matir a few people, a lot of people at a time. What to do a second time before Yom Kippur?
Just instead of for Hashanah, do it for Yom Kippur?
Kol Nidre, the old text of Kol Nidre was, the old Nusach was, all the Nedarim that we accepted in Yom Kippurim, Sho'ava Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Then the Rabbein Atam changed it. Rabbein Atam and his father, Rabbeinu Meir, Rashi son of law, changed the Nusach. Shouldn't say from last Yom Kippur to this Yom Kippur. It's not a Hataras Nedarim L'Sho'avar. It's a Mesiris Meidoh, and any Nedarim which we will take, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippurim Ha'Bolenu L'Toivah. Any Nedarim we're going to take in the course of the next year. The Chayyadim recommends you should say both. You should say the Nedarim that we took, Yom Kippurim Shavad, Yom Kippurim Hazeh, and the Nedarim that we will take, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippurim Ha'Bolenu L'Toivah. So many had the meaning that the Kol Nidre is a Hataras Nedarim. So what do you do twice? Why do you do Hataras Nedarim and Erev Hashanah? You want to start off the year without any Nedarim. The Gemara, the Rabbein Atam insists, the Rabbein Atam with his father insists that it's not Hataras Nedarim. It's a Mesiris Meidah, making a declaration that any Nedar I'll take in the future should not be binding. So that's based on a Gemara in the middle of Nedarim, Nechofs, where the Gemara says, if a person doesn't want his Nedarim to be binding, let him get up, Beresh Shatoh. So Reishata can be translated Rosh Hashanah. Reishata means the beginning of the year. So you should get up Reishata and make a declaration. And in the Dharm that I take in the course of the year should be null and void. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, that's what we do in Kol Nidre. But it says Reishata. So he says, Reishata doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. Reishata means the beginning of the year. Yom Kippur is also the beginning of the year. So they're different different communities recite different texts for the Kol Nidre. So our minig is that we do HaTorah and Dorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah also. And Yerideya, the Mechaber, writes that when you do HaTorah and Dorim, this was never accepted by the Tzedukim, by the Karoim. Because HaTorah and Dorim is Mamish Torah Shabbat Peh. The Mishnah says, Hetan Adorim Porchim Bo'abe Ve'en Lehem Amishi Yismochu. You can't read it in between the lines of a pasuk. Most of the Torah Shabbat Peh is learned that by reading in between the lines. That's a drosha from the psukim. And then sometimes you have halacha l'moshe misina, which means a din of the Torah Shabbat Peh that's not based on any psukim. So the Mishnah, at the end of the first perek in Chagiga, says that Hetan Adorim Porchim Bo'avir is just transmitted orally from generation to generation, and there's no way to derive it from psukim in the Chumash. Then the Gemara proceeds, the last daf in the first parak in Chagiga, the Gemara proceeds to quote Tanaim who disagree. They say, no, Yesh Lama Meshe Yismach, it's not Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. It can't be read in between the lines. But I'll call upon him, either it's Torah Shabbat Peh Legamrei, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, no drosha at all, or it's a drosha of the Torah Shabbat Peh by reading in between the lines. In either event, the Karoim never held from the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they never did HaTorah Shabbat Peh. The Tzedukim and the Karoim didn't follow Torah Shabbat Peh. And Shulchan Aruch says the minig is when the Bezin does HaTorah and Dorim, they should emphasize, they should say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. They should say three times for emphasis to indicate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. This is based on the Mishnah in Menachos, in Perek Rabbi Shmo, where the Mishnah says that during the period of the Bais Sheni, there were years that the Tzedukim were running the Beis HaMikdash, many Kohanim were Tzedukim, and they were bringing Karbanis according to their religion, that according to the Orthodox Jewish traditions. So the Mishnah says when the Chachamim were in charge, so they used to do Tziras HaOmer, the Leil, the night of the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, Matzoi Yom Tov Shel Pesach. The Tzedukim said that you always do Mimrachas HaShabbos, always on Saturday night, and the Chavos HaOmer, Mincha Saim is always on Sunday, and Shavuos is always on a Sunday. It's an extended weekend. Pesach is a whole week, and Sukkot is a whole week, and Shavuos is only one day. So Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. That's how they said, as if Moshe Rabbeinu invented the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu Oy Yisrael Hoya. So he made us the holiday of Shavuos should be an extended weekend. You're going to have it in the middle of the week. So you say, how can you take off in the middle of the week? So Shavuos always falls out on Sunday. So when the Chachamim were running the show, when the Orthodox rabbis were running the show, they used to make a big tararam when they did the Ktzira Soima, not on a Matzoi Shabbos, and they would have gather everybody together to the farm where they planned to cut the Omer, and the Kohen would scream out loud, should I cut it, should I harvest it with this sickle? And he would ask everything three times, and everybody would scream out, yes. And then every so often there would be, the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach would be Shabbos, so he would do the Ksiris on Leil Shabbos, then as it's Dechah Shabbos. He would also ask three times, I should harvest it even though it's Shabbos, and each time they would scream out yes. So you see from the Mishnah that whenever you're fighting with the Tzedukim, you're fighting with the non-Orthodox, so you have to emphasize that this is the way we do it, this is our tradition, and one of the ways to emphasize is by saying it three times. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes the minig that when you do HaTorah and Dorim, you say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. By us, we say it three times in the HaTorah and Dorim. So we say, HaKol Mechulam Lecha Alto, HaKol Matorim Lecha, HaKol Shruim Lecha. So you say it three times. And then there's a minig that you say that three times. So you said it nine times. So that's what Rav Baruch Epstein writes. Nine times. There never was such a minig. If you say that Loshen once, so you already have three times. And the one paragraph that you said, you say, HaKol Matorim Lecha, HaKol Mechulam Lecha, HaKol Shruim Lecha. So you already said it three times. There never was a minig to say nine times. That's what Yitain is, that's a mistake. The din is, the Gemara says, you can do HaTorah and Dorim, even though you need a Bezin of three, and usually a Bezin cannot be convened by Laila, but HaTorah and Dorim can be done by Laila. I mean, we do Erev Rosh Hashanah by Yom, but strictly speaking, can even be done by Laila, and even Ayde Krovim. What does it mean, Ayde Krovim? So remember, the Bezin can be my father, my brother, can be a relative of mine. A husband and a wife is no good, because Ishtei Kegufa, that's a Mishnah. But anything other than a husband and a wife, it's ishta kegufta. So kraven would be good. What if you have two members of the bezin, or a father and a son, or two brothers? So that doesn't say mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. Baron Soloveitchik used to say, based on a comment that Rabbi Kivega has on the Yerideya, he thought that that's not acceptable. If the Bezna is a kosher Bezna, except that I am a relative of one of the members of the Bezna, so then it's then the Gemara is makel that even though one of the members of the Bezna is a karev to me, that's okay. But if you look at the Bezna, leave me out of the picture, the Bezna itself is a karevim zelazeh. Rabbi Kivega says something else that led Rabban Soloveitchik to believe that that would not be acceptable. So that's the minig of Hataras and Dorim. Many tzaddikim, Harab Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes this, and many of the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim whom he knew 80 years ago had the practice that they wanted to be last for Hataras and Dorim. They wanted their Bezin, who's going to be mata them, should already have had their Hataras and Dorim first. Because Ein Chovesh Mata Ratzma Beis Asur. If he has Nedarim, the Bezin is bound with Nedarim, so how's he going to help me break out of prison? He has to be a free man. So they preferred that to be Mata Nedarim of the Balabatim first, and then they would ask three Balabatim to constitute a Bezin to be Mata them. Usually Balabatim want to be Mechabit the rabbi. So they want to be Mata Nedar for the rabbi, and then the rabbi should be able to leave. So these Tzaddikim felt the reverse. It's preferable to first be matted in the dorm of the Balabatim, and then have three Balabatim who have a clean slate in them. They're not bound with any in the dorm, and they'll be able to be matted by the dorm. That's all. Min hagim. Pardon me? There never was such a minig. Usually the women rely on the Kol Nidre, and the Kol Nidre, the Chazan says, we'll matter all in the dorm from the Estiam Kippur to the Estiam Kippur. It became absent in our generation. In recent years, it started a whole thing. The Gemara in Nedarim discusses, can a husband act as a shliach on behalf of his wife to ask for Hataras Nedarim? So the Gemara says, yes. Habal nasu shliach lacharot asishtay. The husband can repeat. If the wife asked him to, only if the Bezdin is already convened. If he has to convene the Bezdin to be mata his wife's Nedarim, that's not good. So here, if the husband convened the Bezdin to be mata his own Nedarim, he didn't convene the Bezdin to be mata the wife's Nedarim. Oh, the Bezdin's already sitting there. They were mata Nedarim 2 minutes ago for a different group of people. They're sitting already. So then the husband comes and he says, I want to be mata my Nedarim. My wife asked me to represent her also. So the husband didn't gather together the Bezdin for the purpose of the Hataras Nedarim for the wife. So in recent years, people started that. But they say, Rav Shlomo Zalman Reibach said, we never had such a minig. Minig always was that the women relied on Kol Nidre. The women never used to make the husband shluchim.
And I forgot, when do you pass off, or as opposed to
charata? Yeah, the person says, B'kul honi charatna b'hon, in the Kol Nidre. We say we have charat on everything. Yeah.
Sometimes when you pass off, you need to...
L'chatchila, the Gemara says you should have Pesach, but if you have Charata, it's also good. So we usually say we have Charata that we took any of these in Dorm. We don't remember what the Dorm are. We have Charata that we took. Sometimes a person gets an Aliyah, says a Mishabech is going to pledge to give money to the Shul, then he forgets all about it. So then he's going to burn in Gehenna. Avana Dorm Bani Mesa, Avana Dorm Ishta Mesa. So he can cause his wife to die, cause his children to die. So we should really have a Hataras Nedarim just in case we pledge to give money to Tzedakah and we forget all about it. So that there's no Pesach, just have a Charata that I took such a neder because I forgot. I have a Charata that I should never have taken the net. I should have said Beli neder. Okay. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that you have to change the Nusach of the Shemana Esrei. Instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh. And on the weekdays on Aseres Meitshuv, instead of saying Hakel HaMishpat, you have to say HaMelech HaMishpat. Our meaning is all year long we say Melech HaHev Tzedakah HaMishpat, so we say Melech anyway. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that if in Aseres Meitshuv a person forgot and he said Melech HaHev Tzedakah HaMishpat, he would be Yotze B'Yevid, even though he didn't say HaMelech HaMishpat, Kosof he said Melech. That's the opinion that we accept. What about the first night Rosh Hashanah? So the Chayodim quotes from one of the Dayanim. Chayodim was originally a businessman. And then he became a dayan in Vilna. He was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. So he writes in the introduction to one of his sermons, people are going to wonder, who am I to write a book on halacha? A businessman is traveling around making money, making profit. He's the one who writes. Okay. So he says he picked up a lot of learning as he was traveling for business. He picked up a lot of learning. So the Chayodin quotes one of the dayanim in Vilna. At the time he was not a dayan. He quotes Rabbah Balapasvela. Pasvel was like Queens, like Kew Gardens, something that was on the outskirts of Manhattan. So Pasvel was a little village, sort of on the outskirts of Vilna. So Babila was a famous Dayan. The Chayodim in the Chochmas saw them also. Every so often, every 100 pages, he'll quote a psak from Babila and Pasvel. So he quotes his Chiddush, that on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Chodesh. So if a person forgets Yalav Yava by Mayriv, that was the shayla that the Nerdi Behuda asked the Baal Shem Tov. Mm-hmm. What's the din if a person forgets Yalav Yavai? Well, Rosh Chodesh, does he have to daven over? So the Gemara says, you don't have to daven over. So that was Rabba Balapat. Why? Because Eim Mekachan is a Chodesh Balayim. So he had the same Chodesh here, that if you forgot and you said Akela Kodesh instead of Amelech HaKodesh the first night of Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei, because Eim Mekachan is a Chodesh Balayim. They don't make it Rosh Chodesh till, they wouldn't declare it as Rosh Hashanah till the morning anyway. So many disputed this. Rabbi Soloveitchik once dedicated a whole Yahrzeit Shia to this topic. He used to have Yahrzeit for his father on Gimel Shvat, and always used to give a big Shia, 4-hour Shia, 2 hours Halacha, 2 hours Agoda, and every year it was usually an Aruch Chaim, some topic that the people could follow, an easy topic. Tzitzis, Tefillin, Kriyat Shema, Kiddush, Avodah, something easy. So one year he dedicated the whole Shia explaining why he doesn't think we should accept this Psak from Rabbi Babila Pasvel. Moshe Feinstein and others say we should accept the Psak for a different reason, because the reason why you have to change the Nusach HaBrocha HaMelech HaKodesh instead of HaKel HaKodesh, because the Rabbanu Shalom is the Melech Yosheh B'Mishpat, he's judging the whole world. And the Gemara says the Mishpat is only by Yom. There's no Mishpat Leil Rosh Hashanah. So Moshe thought that you can follow Rabbah LePasvel. Okay, that's a big, so just make sure you daven from a machzeh, you don't make a mistake. Make sure you say Melech HaKodesh instead of HaKel HaKodesh. You won't have any shaymas.
Would that be the same with the second night of Rosh Hashanah? The same
din? Yeah, the same shaymas, yeah. The Pashtus is the same shaymas, yeah. The Tanoim had a machloikis and the Mishnayis in the third parak in Moed Katan. The Dafyami people just made a siyam on Moed Katan. If someone started observing Avelus before Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, when Yantav comes, it cancels Shiva. Well, if the person started Shloshim, so when Yantav comes, it cancels the Shloshim. Why? So the Gemara says, because Avelus and Simchas Yantav are atarte de Sasri. So the Tanoim had a machlokes that's recorded in Mishnah. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should also cancel Shiva and Shloshim or not? So we pass on Halacha that yes, even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also cancel Avelus. So that doesn't necessarily prove 100% that that's really how we pask, and it could be halachic debra mekel ba'ovel. It could be that we're mekel because it's Hilchos Avelus. Halachic debra mekel ba'ovel, Rabbi Chanan Asaman points out and others point out, doesn't only apply if the machloikis in Hilchos Avelus. Here the machloikis is in Hilchos Simchas Yontif. Is there a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So even if we'll paskin that there's no mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but when it comes to Avelus, we would be makel that there is. We would split the psak. Mikzayim kikuloi is a machlekes hatanaim. So in kol ha-tarakula, we paskin one way, mikzayim kikuloi. But when it comes to Avelus, we're more makel. And a machlekes, where in other cases, we're machmer, hilchos Avelus b'meng. So that's a shayla. Is there really a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara in Erevin has a discussion of Mem Omid Beis. When you say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, they say Shehecha Yonam. So some of the Rishonim on the Daf explained that this was the issue in the Gemara. You only say Shehecha Yonam Pesach Shavuot Sukkos because it's a mitzvah of Simcha. So the question is on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is there a mitzvah of Simcha? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that you do say Shehecha Yonam. The Gemara asked, what's the question? Nobody remembers what they did last year. They don't remember. No one's alive in the Beis Medrash who remembers whether they said Shehecha Yonam last year. Yom Kippur, everybody says Shachyana together in the Beis Medrash. You have to call Nidri, you say Shachyana. So nobody remembered that they said Shachyana last year. Gemara says, no, Avada, you say Shachyana. The suffix of the Gemara was, is it a Chiv to say Shachyana? Like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, and maybe it's only Rishus. Because Shachyana on a Chodosh or a Beged Chodosh, the Gemara says, that's only Rishus. That's not obligatory. So the Gemara had the suffix. What about Shachyana? We did say, everybody did remember that last year, from time immemorial, we have been saying Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The question is, are you absolutely mechuyev to, or is it only Rishus? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that you are mechuyev to. So some of the Rishonim and that daf explain that that was the Dion in the Gemara. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Now the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there is. So that taka corresponds to the way we pasken, that one who began Shiva Shloshim before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, when it comes Yontif, so it cancels the Avedus, because there is a mitzvah of Simcha. Usually when there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tovim, so you're not allowed to, you have to make sure that you start eating before Chatzos. That's a chumra from the Balei HaTosfos that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If the chazan is going to, you're going to start davening late, then the rabbi is going to give a long sermon, and the chazan is going to take a long time. You're not going to begin to eat, not going to say kiddush till after chatzos. That's also a violation of tainus. So that was a big machlokes in the rishonim. If there's a, once you assume there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, so does it follow that there should be an issa tainus? Because the person is going to be misana, that'll be a contradiction to the mitzvah of simcha. So some of the Gaonim held that it's permissible. It's even recommended to fast on Rosh Hashanah. The accepted opinion is that it's not. There were in every generation, there were tzaddikim, chassidim, anshei maisa, who would fast on Rosh Hashanah. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. We hold that you're not supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But the Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes from the Magen Avraham, this will make all, that on any other Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to start making Kiddush before Chatzos. And on Rosh Hashanah, because there is an opinion that it's mutter to fast, even though we don't follow that opinion, so we make all on the Chatzos. We permit you to wait till after Chatzos to begin eating. Some people want to avoid the fasting, so they drink a little water before davening. You can't eat before you daven Shachris, but to drink water is a machloikis, and the generally accepted opinion is that it's mutter to drink water before Shachris. So some people will be mahar to have a little bit of water in the morning before they start davening Shachris, even if they're not going to make kiddush till way after Chatzos. They're not fasting.
Which is better?
Yeah, we always allow water before Shachris. We make all on that, so for sure, there's no problem.
No problem, but is it better to
kind
that
minhag
of the
Gaonim
partially as
a time as Chatzos? No, we don't recommend to fast. Mishnah Berurah just quotes Achranim, we are makel. If the davening extended till after Chatzos, so we're makel. Here in Yeshiva, usually the davening extends till way after Chatzos. Davening is beautiful. Everyone should try it out. You'll really enjoy it. You'll be safe. If you never daven in Yeshiva, you really enjoy it. But the question is, by the time they finish Musaf, it's already after the Zman of Mincha Gedolah. Mincha Gedolah is the half an hour after Chatzos. Chatzos is approximately 1. So approximately 1:30 is already Mincha Gedolah. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Masech HaShabbos that you're not supposed to eat a Suda Gedolah during the Zman of Mincha Gedolah if you didn't daven Mincha yet. Let's say a wedding. Wedding is going to be 5 hours long. Bar mitzvah is going to take a long, long time, couple of hours, so you should not start eating by wedding or by mitzvah if you didn't daven mincha yet, even if it's only mincha gedolah. The shki is 7, and the wedding is going to be in at 2 o'clock, and there's another wedding at 6 o'clock, so they're not going to let you eat by the wedding past 6 o'clock. They're going to throw everybody out. Still, the Gemara says you're not allowed to eat the suda gedolah if you didn't daven mincha yet, if it's mincha gedolah. So the Chayyadim quotes from the Vilna Goyen that Sudas Yantif is Suda Gedolah. Depends where you're eating. Depends, eating in the calf, maybe it's not a Suda Gedolah. If you're eating by someone's private home, it may, depends who. So a lot of times Sudas Yantif is a Suda Gedolah. So that's why in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Lichtenstein instituted this. I think he carried it over from Chaim Berlin, that they practiced there, that right after they finish Musaf, so they have whoever stays behind davens mincha. So it takes another half hour. Like this, you would be home at 2:30, and like this, you're home at 3 o'clock. It takes another half hour to daven mincha, because you shouldn't have a suda gedolah before you daven mincha, even if it's only mincha gedolah. If you do like that, then the minig is that you leave out the avinu malkeinu at the end of the mincha. Usually on Rosh Hashanah, we do say avinu malkeinu by mincha, but we don't say Avinu Malkeinu after Musaf. How come you don't say Avinu Malkeinu after Musaf? So the answer is because everybody's in a rush to go home to eat. So if you're going to daven mincha after Musaf, so they're in a bigger rush to go home to eat. So kal v'chomer that you leave out Avinu Malkeinu after mincha, if you're going to daven mincha after Musaf before you went to eat. But if you daven mincha later after you're already benched, so then you say Avinu Malkeinu, everyone is full. The Mishnah in Sukkah has that the person is not permitted to eat before he shakes the lulav. The Mishnah says if a person didn't have a lulav And then he's in the middle of eating his meal. He didn't think he's going to get a lulav in the middle of the meal. And they bring him a lulav, so then he should be mapsik and he should bench esrog in the middle of the meal. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah, you see that really it's not permissible. It's not right to eat before you shake the lulav. So we assume the same is true regarding tkiya shofar. It's not right to eat before tkiya shofar. Strictly speaking, te'ima is mutar. Only to have a whole meal is also, but to have a little snack is mutar. So many shuls and many yeshivas, that was always the practice, that they would have a little kiddush, the people would just have a piece of cake before tkiya shofar. So they assumed that it's only te'ima, strictly speaking, is mutar, and they wouldn't be fasting till after chatzos, and they wouldn't be so starved. Here in the yeshiva, they always used to do it, so we used to daven in the old Beis Medrash. So it took 10 minutes till everybody walked to the calf, then it took 10 minutes till everybody walked back. Then there wasn't enough cake for everybody, so it'd always be a halasik, they have to cut more cake. So it delayed the davening another 45 minutes. So they finally did away with the kiddush, and they decided to do away with the kiddush and start davening half an hour earlier. And sure, so they started half an hour earlier, and they saved 45 minutes of the kiddush. So now they only finished davening at 2:30 instead of 4:30. Okay. That was the takana that they had. Years ago, it was Yadua, that Rabbi Henkin, before Moshe Feinstein, came to New York. So the big pesach in New York was Rabbi Henkin. So he had this bug that he would always meet the Rosh Yeshiva in Chedosh Elo, and they would wish each other, and he would always tell them, make sure you don't make Kiddush. Make sure you don't make Kiddush before Tkiyas. You should make Kiddush in the middle of the Tkiyas, before Musaf. You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be mafzik in the middle of the tkiyas, you're not allowed to talk from the bracha till the end of the chazaras hashem. So he would always insist. His opinion was not accepted. That was his thing. Everybody knew. So after he passed away, so his grandson picked up the same thing. But his grandson was younger than all the Rashi Yeshiva. Rabbi Henkin was 20 years older than all the Rashi Yeshiva. His grandson was a young whippersnapper. So his grandson followed in the footsteps of the grandfather, so he would meet all the rabbanim with the long white beards. Make sure you make Kiddush in the middle of the Tkiyas, and don't make Kiddush before. Okay, but strictly speaking, it's mutter.
So what's
Tima? Tima means that you're going to have to eat a meal later.
So you can have more than a diet, so more than that?
Yeah, yeah. As long as you don't sit down to have a meal. The Gemara has a machlekes, so you're allowed to eat before Musaf. So we pass, you're allowed to eat before Musaf, but not to have a whole meal. Not proper to have a home meal. Te'ima is mutum. So that's when a lot of shuls don't have a kiddush.
Right. So it's a different thing than by mincha gedol, right? The eating before the shofar, right? Because you couldn't even have just like a not a sedulah gedol. You couldn't even have like a small meal before the tekiah, right?
Right. Right. Just te'ima is mutum. Yeah. Mincha gedol, a whole meal is mutum, even though you didn't have mincha provided. It's not a suda gedol. But before tea is just a meal is awesome. But the team is not.
But before kiddush is different, right? You can't eat anything. Why is there a difference?
The din is you're not allowed to eat before kiddush on Friday night on Leil Yonta. What about Shabbos morning or Yonta morning? That's machlek is the Rambam and the Raivitz. So the Rambam says kiddush on Shabbos morning, same as kiddush Friday night. You shouldn't eat before kiddush. And the Raivitz disagrees. The Raivitz thinks he already said kiddush last night. So you're permitted to eat all you want before kiddush. But the minig is la'achmel like the Rambam that you're not allowed to eat before kiddush. If you have a woman, let's say who's pregnant or whatever, nursing, and she can't fast, she can't tell her to wait till 3 o'clock to make kiddush. So the women should go home and make kiddush. Women are not mechuyev to eat tkiyas shofar; they're just doing it on a voluntary basis. So you should tell them they should go home and they should make kiddush and eat something, and then they should eat before tkiyas shofar, not mechuyev. Shouldn't eat a whole meal before Musaf, but Tima for sure is Mutaf, so they can have a little bite before Tkiyas Shofar. The men are Mechuyev in Tkiyas Shofar, so they shouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's say like you drink coffee every single day, so like you're like very addicted to coffee. So let's say the only sole reason you're drinking coffee is to have Kavanah and Davening. Let's say that would be the case. So would it ever be Mutaf to have before Davening? Have coffee?
Yes.
Is it solely because you want to have kavanah, you want to be able to focus better?
Yeah, we say that water is mutter. So in Shulchan Aruch they say that even tea and coffee is mutter, provided you don't have any, you didn't pour any milk in, you didn't pour any sugar in. Then it says if a person is not going to be able, let's say some older people, they won't be strong enough to daven. They don't have kerch to daven unless they have a bite, some zainus or something before davening. So then the purpose of eating is to enable them to daven better. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch that's permissible. That's why the Babich, they start davening at 11 o'clock in the morning. So of course they better eat something. They're starving. How can you daven at 11 o'clock in the morning if you're hungry? So if they start davening at 7 o'clock, so they wouldn't have to eat before. But you're going to start davening at 11 o'clock, so you better eat something before. Got no choice. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, the last Perek in Masechah Sanhedrin in the Pirush HaMishnah, the Rambam writes that there are 13 principles of faith. And we have in the Siddur, after Shachris, it's printed the 13 Animamins. Basically, it's based on the Rambam. It's not exactly 100% identical with what the Rambam said, but it's basically copying off the Rambam. So there was a big philosopher years ago, Rabbi Yosef Albo. We had a student in Shir a couple of years ago, Rabbi Yosef Albo, who is a descendant of Rabbi Yosef Albo. He's in the Rabbonis here in Manhattan, I think. So Rabbi Yosef Albo wrote the Sefer HaYikarim, so he says that what did the Rambam have to make such a big tzimis to make 13 Yikari Amunah? Basically, there are three Yikari Amunah, Malchus, Achronus, and Shofers. When we daven on Rosh Hashanah, we assume that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, that's what we mean, B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam. The first 5 days of creation were prehistoric because there was nobody there. Adam HaRishon was created on Friday, on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. But yes, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. It falls out on Thursday and Friday. But the first day of Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. So the Mekubalim say because we live in an imperfect world. Perfect world would have been Rosh Hashanah would always be on a Friday. That's the way it was the original Rosh Hashanah when Adam HaRishon was created. Okay. Be that as it may. The Tisha Nivra HaOlam means Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, and Vaitzav Hashem Alkim Al Horem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him. He told him basically the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The Rambam says that Rishon only had six out of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach because he didn't have the prohibition of Evim and Achai. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, he was instructed to be a vegetarian. He had no right to eat any flesh at all. So after the Mabul, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat meat, then the seventh of the mitzvahs was given, the din of Eiv Menachai. So that's why we refer to it as the seven mitzvahs ben enech. But basically, at least six out of the seven were given to Adam HaRishon already. So that's why Hashem Malakim Al HaOdom. That's why the meaning is that we recite, many have the meaning to recite the Dovar Hashem Oyer V'Yishi, starting this season of the year. Why is that? Because the Medrash, one Medrash has a common Ori B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yishi B'Yom HaKippur. So Yishei B'Yom HaKippurim, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Yeshua if he forgives your sins. Yom HaKippurim is the Yom Mechila Aslicha. If he forgives your sins, that's a tremendous Yeshua. In what sense is Rosh Hashanah Ori? What illumination do you have on Rosh Hashanah? So the Pashtus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Adam HaRishon. There was a Gilu Shechina Vaitzav Hashem Alkim Al HaAdam, and he told him Sheva Mitzvahs to guide him. The Gemara has a comment on Bab Metzi on the pasuk that we say in Baruch Enav Shitoshes Cheshel Vihi Loila. So the Gemara says Zeh Ha'Elam Azeh Shadayim Alo Loila. In this world, everything is very unclear. You look in the newspapers; you're not sure whether the Israelis were right or Hamas was right. The Israelis are the oppressors, and Hamas are the nirdaf, or the Hamas are the oppressors. Everything is a sofik. Is it a mitzvah? Is it not there? We're not sure. The Jews are celebrating Yom Atzmut. The happy half of the Jews are reciting Kinnis. It's a terrible, tragic day. Everything is so unclear in this world. So the Torah was given to us. The Torah was given to us to illuminate. It guides us when you learn the Torah. So the Torah tells you what's right and what's wrong. So on Rosh Hashanah was Oiri bi Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminated the world for Adam HaRishon. He told them all the guidelines. This is the right thing and this is the wrong thing. This is the way you should lead your life. So on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and he gave him, there was a Gilu Shechina, and he gave him instruction. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, we are instructed to offer the tefillos of Malchus, Chaynus, and Shofros. These three brachas contain the basic three principles of faith. That's what Rabbi Yosef Alba says. Malchus, we believe in God. And Zechrenis, we believe that there's reward and punishment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, and is going to reward the tzaddikim and punish the rishoyim. And Shofros, Tkiyah Shofar in Tanakh, represents Gilui Shechina. And Shofros means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah min HaShemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did reveal himself in the path. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate to man. Man can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Iker of Tefillah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our prayers, is the chelik of this Iker of Amuna of Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate to man, we can communicate to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has communicated to us, and he gave us a Torah min HaShemayim. He did reveal himself to man. That's what Shofros is all about. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Alba says, that basically the 13 Animamins, the 13 principles of faith, boil down to three. Malchus means we believe in God. There's only one God, and he's full controller of the world. And Zechrinus means that there's Schar V'Yanish. He knows everything that's going on, even things that we do in the privacy of our homes. No one else knows. Ribbono Shel Olam knows. And Shofros means Torah min HaShemayim. These are the basic three principles of faith. So just like all of these principles of faith, when this Gala taught the Marishan on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him. And he took him in Gan Eden, and he said, make sure you keep my mitzvahs. And he said, if you're going to violate it, if you're going to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, I'm going to punish you. So everything was Nizgala Torah Merisha. Malchi is a Chernes and Shev. So we chazer this every year on Rosh Hashanah. There's a Machloikas, Rashi, and the Ramban, whether the obligation to recite Malchi is a Chernes and Shev is a din min HaTorah, or only a din mid Rabbanan. The Gemara says on the last Amid Beis in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says if a person lives in a village where there's no shofar and there's no machzer, so he doesn't want to stay there for Rosh Hashanah, but he can't afford to go, he can't go travel to the big city where they have a shofar and a machzer. He can either go to village A or village B. In one village they have a shofar but they have no machzer, so they'll be able to blow shofar but they won't be able to daven machzer when the shofar is in the other village. They have a machzer, but they don't have a shofar, so they'll only be able to say machzer when the shofar, won't be able to blow shofar. So the Brisa says, the Gemara says, that you should certainly go to the village where they have the shofar, because that's their Brisa. Machzer when the shofar is only the Rabban. So the Ramban on Chumash and Parsha Samor quotes that Gemara, the last Amud Beis on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, to disagree with Rashi. From Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, you get the impression, the same thing Rashi in his commentary on Maseches Rosh Hashanah repeats it quite a few times. You get the distinct impression that Rashi thinks that Malchus Rosh Hashanah is his deraisa. Rashi sounds like he says, the Gemara, there are different opinions, how many tkiyas do you have to have? Mikar adin deraisa. The Chacham made a takana, lama tokam imbarim kishayim yoshvim, v'tokam imbarim kishayim omdim. Why do you blow so many tkiyas more than what is necessary? So the Gemara says, k'dei la'abeh v'sasotan. You do more than you have to, but how much are you mukhiv to do? So the Gemara says, Tkiyu Truah Tkiyah three times. Why three times? So Rashi, Minatoira, one time it says three times Minatoira. So Rashi says, one for Malchus, one for Zechronis, one for Shofar. So Rashi sounds quite a few times. Rashi sounds like he thinks, Malchus Zechronis, Shofar says Derais. So the Ramban asked, how can it be? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, Beferish, it's a Dabat Pashut. You should go to the city where they have a Shofar. You shouldn't go to the city where they have the machzer, because this is their eisa, and that's the rabbanon. So Akan Rashi said the Malchus Rosh Hashanah is their eisa. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the answer, the interpretation that's given by the Sefer Yom Truah. There's a Sefer by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim from, I think, the 1500s, or the 1600s. It's called, we usually call it Kapas Tamarim. On Sukkah, it's called Kapas Tamarim. And the section that's on Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Truah. And the section that's on Yuma is called Tosfos Yom Kippur. He wrote like Tosfos, so it's called Tosfos Yom Kippur. So in the Sefer Yom Truah, which is part of the Kapas Tamarim, he comes to defend Rashi. So he says Rashi thinks that Malchus when the Shofar is the Raisa if you have it with Tkiyah Shofar. But if you don't have it, one village they have a Shofar, one village they only have a Machzer. So if they only have a Machzer without a Shofar, then Rashi has to agree. That's what it says in Gemara. Then the Malchus when the Shofar is only the Rabban. But if you have a shofar and the Malchus Rosh Hashanah comes with the shofar, then Rashi thinks that that's an enhancement of the mitzvah of shofar Menat Torah. How does the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu enhance the Shefa Menat Torah? What's the connection between the two? Why do we blow Shefa in the middle of the davening? You don't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. You shake a lulav in the middle of Halal because the Nanuim are a chelik of the Halal. The two pshotim in Nanuim, two opinions on Shulchan Aruch, whether Nanuim means you wave the lulav back and forth or you jump up and down. You shake the lulav. So the Taz says we should do both. We shake it and we wave it. So Tosis quotes the pshat. One pshat is that we wave the lulav in the Esrik to show as if not only all of mankind will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of nature will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The trees with the Hadassim and the Arabis will bow down to their Baruch Hu. The other version is, no, you shake it, just like we will dance out of joy over the day will come when Malchus Hashem will be Nizgala, so even then when there will be Nizgala of Malchus Hashem, even the trees in the forest will also be dancing from joy. So the fact that we shake the lulav in the middle of Halal, that blends in. The nanuim of the lulav blends into the Halal. Even all of nature is going to rejoice over the Hizgalas Hashem. But you don't shake a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei, that would be a hepsik. What does one mitzvah got to do with the other? So why do we blow shofar in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz and Rosh Hashanah? So the answer must be that shofar is a form of tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik showed many hakachas from the Gemara like that, that shofar is a form of tefillah. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, whether the shofar should be straight or the shofar should be twisted. We paskin kufim, it should be twisted. Why is that? So the Gemara says it's a machlokes principle, fundamental machlokes. What position should a person's body be in when he daven Shemana Esrei? Should he stand straight or should he be bent over a little bit? So we paskin, it should be bent over a little bit. So the shape of the shofar corresponds to the shape of the person who's davening. So it's pretty clear from the Gemara that, and the other one holds, we should stand Shemana Esrei straight. You shouldn't lean your head over. So the shofar should be in a straight position. That's what the Gemara says. So you see that the shofar represents a form of tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik had more hachachas. One of the hachachas they quote from Rav Elbala Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said it also was. The Abu Dram has a premise. The assumption of the whole Sefer Abu Dram is that every phrase in the Siddur has to be based on Biblical Hebrew. So he gives you the Mokar in Tanakh for every phrase in the davening. All the brachas in Kiddush and Abdullah in the Shemana Esrei, he gives you the Mokar in Tanakh. So we say in the Shemana Esrei, Shamei Kol Truas Am Yisrael Hayom Berachamim. Of course the Ribbono Shel Olam hears everything that we say and hears the Tekiyah Shofar. But where does it say that in Tanakh, that God listens to the Tekiyah Shofar? So the answer is, says Shamei Tefilo Adecha Gavasa Yavo. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a Shamei Tefilo. So we paraphrase that pasuk and we say, Shamei Kol Truas Am Yisrael Hayom Berachamim. The Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the Tekiyah Shofar. Tekiyah Shofar is also a form of Tefilo. It's a form of Tefilo without any words. A lot of times a person davens, a single boy is chalashing to marry this girl, davens to Ribbono Shel Olam, he should help him marry that girl. He doesn't realize that girl will ruin his life. A guy is chalashing, he wants to get into this graduate school. He's praying to Ribbono Shel Olam, he should be accepted into that yeshiva, he should get a job in this company, whatever. And a lot of times that's the worst thing for him. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that we say in the davening at the end of the Shema Kolenu, "Kabel berachamim uvarotzen es tfiloseinu." The Ribbono Shel Olam should filter out our prayers. He should only accept. He should accept our prayers with rachmanis. You shouldn't listen to everything that we ask for. A lot of things we ask for are stupid and ridiculous, and will be detrimental for our good health. Rav Soloveitchik said himself, only God knows how many tefillahs he offered that he shouldn't have to come to America. America was the treif in the Medina. Nobody was religious in America then. He was praying he should be able to stay in Europe where all the tzaddikim are and all the tamine chachamim are. He said, if God would have answered his prayers, he would have been killed by the Nazis together with everybody else. Amazel, that his prayers were not answered. So we always daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask him to take care of it and things. And we always give him a plan. And a lot of times the plan that we suggest is stupid. So we offer a prayer. You should have rachmanis on us. You should only accept those prayers that make sense. So in a certain sense, the Tekiyah Shofar is a prayer without words. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows what all of our needs are. Like the Gemara has a lashon, Tzorchei Amcha Merubim V'Daitam Ktzora Milahabia. We have a lot of needs, and we don't even know how to express our needs. You know better than we do. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows better than us. what is the best route to take. So we ask him, he should blow shofar, is the prayer without any words, he should take care of all of our needs. We need shidduchim for our children, we don't know which is the best boy for our daughter. So we pray to Rabban Shalom, we shouldn't pray for this guy. Maybe this guy will be awful. We pray he should take care of all of the things that we need.
What's the deal with davening personal bifaders on Rosh Hashanah?
There are different opinions. The generally accepted opinion is that we do ask on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we do ask for personal needs. We do. Some of Kubalim say you're only allowed to ask for the needs of the Rabban Shalom. Lochal kol holam kula bechvaydecha. We're not asking. He should take care of it. We only ask. Kabbishai forgotl, not so much lecheresenu, because Malchus Hashem should be in his gala. The Mekubalim say all the prayers on Rosh Hashanah should be for the Rabban Shalom say. But the common practice is not so. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we daven for the cholim, for the single people should get shidduchim and parnas and everything. We daven for our own needs as well.
The Yom Adin.
Yom Adin, right. So you should daven. You should daven for your personal needs. Not about it. Even the Ramban, who holds that the obligation to daven is not Minat Torah. The Rambam says once a day, every day you have to daven Minat Torah. Ramban disagrees in the Sefer Mitzvahs. He says, the Gemara says so many times Tefillah Drabbanan, but the Ramban agrees that if it's Be'ez Tzara, if there's a war, or there's an epidemic, or there's a flood, or there's a hurricane, then Tefillah Be'ez Tzara is their Isis. So, Ein Lucha Ez Tzara God of Midlife. It's a Yom Adin. The whole world is being judged. Barba Prokim Ho'elam Nidon. The Gemara says four times a year, the Pesach Nidonim Ala Tvua, Batzeres Nidonim Al Teres Rilon, Sukkot Nidonim Ala Mayim, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every individual person is Nidon L'chaim V'lam Mavis, and all the countries are being Nidon. So if you have Barba Prokim Ho'elam Nidon, if the whole world is being judged, that certainly an Eis Tzara. So the Rambam would agree that the obligation to daven is Minatur. The Rambam HaChumash says that the Malchus Renishav is only the Rabbanan. He gets it from the Gemara. And Rashi seems to hold not so. Rashi holds, when you're blowing shofar, in conjunction with the shofar, the obligation to daven Malchus Renishav is their eyes. The Mishnah says he's supposed to, preferable is he should blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, but Tzibur. The Gemara says if a person is in a hospital, he's davening biyochid, even if he knows how to blow shofar, or even if he has someone there who's going to blow for him, you don't blow shofar in the middle of the tefillah if you're davening b'chidus. Only b'cheverir, only when you're davening b'tzibur. Then there are two opinions in the Rishonim, is that only during Chazaras HaShatz or even in the tefillah b'lachash. So Tosis in Rosh Hashanah, there's a gigantic Tosis, where Tosis talks about all Seder of the Tekiah Shofar. So Tosis quotes from the Oruch that they used to blow shofar in the middle of the tefillah b'lachash, not only Chazaras HaShatz. By Hasidim they do like that. By a lot of Sfardim they do like that. Rav Soloveitchik had a tiny little minyan where he used to daven. So Rav Chaim used to make a private minyan on Rosh Hashanah. So he used to blow shofar. Rav Soloveitchik said, if you have a big minyan and you're going to blow shofar in the middle of the Chazara, middle of the Tefillah B'lachash, it'll be such a balagan. So he didn't recommend it. Davening Neza was a Chassidish Rebbe by profession. So he writes in his Tshuvas, what can I do? That's what I do for a living. I'm a Chassidish Rebbe. So I got no choice. I got to blow in the middle of Tefillah B'lachash. But he says, it's awful. It confuses the whole olam. No one knows whether they're coming or going. The Baal Tekeh is blowing shofar and he's in the middle of HaMelech HaKodesh. This guy's in the middle of Moedim. Everything is all confusing. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, if you have a big shul with a lot of people, you shouldn't introduce Tekiah shofar in the middle of Tefillah B'lachash. But if you have a small minyan, you can explain to the people what it's all about, and everybody should wait. At the end of Malchus, at the end of Zechariah, at the end of Shofaris, so that's the more correct way, is to have Tekiah Shofar not only in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, but even in the middle of the Tefillah B'lachash as well.
Both? 30 and 30?
Right. Right. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Yoruch. Right. Pardon me? Right. But they blow after Malchus, after Zechariah, and after Shofaris, right. What is the structure of the brachas on Malchus and Shofaris? So the Rav Soloveitchik used to point out all the time, the structure of the brachas is as follows. Each one has an introductory paragraph where we state the principle of faith that we believe in. We believe in Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king over the whole world, and people now, a lot of people don't recognize it, they don't want to recognize it, but the day will come that all of mankind Alkein the Kabbalah, that's how we begin Alkein the Kabbalah, the day will come, everyone will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first section of Malchus Chayin HaShayfus. We make the statement of the principle of faith, what we believe in. And then how does one prove a point? If you say a point of Hashkafa, how do you prove it? By quoting Dovah Zakas about Torah Rishonim Avim Shulish Baksuvim, he quote Psukim from Tana. So it really should have been enough. One Tana is all the opinions enough. Quote one Pasuk from Chumash, one Pasuk from Nevi'im, one Pasuk from Ksuvim. So sometimes a person will quote a Pasuk out of context. So if you quote three Psukim from the Chumash, and three Psukim from the Nevi'im, three Psukim from the Ksuvim, so we assume that we have proved the point in the best possible way. So basically that's what our practice is. We say nine Psukim, three from Chumash, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Why do we say out of order? Why do we have Torah, Ksuvim, then Nevi'im? So some of the Rishonim say because the Ksuvim that we quote is always from Tehillim. David HaMelech chronologically came before all of the Nevi'im, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. But whenever we quote from Navi, we're quoting from Nevi'im who lived after the days of David HaMelech. So we really are quoting in chronological order. We quote from Torah, from Ksuvim, Dovin HaMelech, and from Nevi'im. So the first nine Psukim are in order. Other Rishonim say, no, that we want to lead up to a crescendo. We start from Torah, then we say Ksuvim, Nevi'im, Torah. It's going up in significance. Okay, whatever the explanation is, that's the way it's supposed to be. And some of the Machzorim, they rearrange the Psukim in the Chazoras HaShatz, and the Yekish Machzorim. They rearrange the Psukim and the Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf, and it's not in the order that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be first Torah, then Ksuvim, then Nevi'im. So it should be...
It's 1-1-1-1. It means Torah, Ksuvim, one Pasuk from Torah, one Pasuk from Ksuvim, one from Nevi'im, then another one from Torah, Ksuvim,
and Nevi'im. Uh-huh. Okay, so that's what most do not follow that practice. Most have the practice say, in the Tefillah Balachash, Those schos also, they have three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Only in the Chazaras HaShatz they reversed it. So more correct would be, the Chazan should say Chazaras HaShatz, the same as he said in the Tefillah Balach. They say all the three from the Torah, three from the Ksuvim, and three from Nevi'im. They're not asking me. But if you only have that machzor, so get a different machzor. If you live al Tefillah, say Chazaras HaShatz, say from a regular machzor.
It's fits better with the
Piyutim. Yeah, but in the Tefillah Balachash, okay, we have adopted that position. So we should do the same in the Chazaras HaShatz.
It's clear that many Rishonim said it that way. Their Machzorim, which had both, had it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've never argued with that. I said two.
What?
Never argued with that.
Okay.
Their Machzorim, their Kisayyad, which had both sets of Pesukim.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they would say both
in Chazaras. Uh-huh. But then we follow the opinion in the Mishnah that you say 10 Pesukim. So from the Gemara it would appear that the 10th Pasuk is not for the same purpose as the first 9 Pesukim. First 9 Pesukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, is just to prove the point of the Ikar and Emunah that we started off with. The opening paragraph of Machzor and Shofar, we make a statement of what we believe in, principle of faith, and then the 9 Pesukim we demonstrate that Dovah Zakas Batar V'Shonim Avim Shulish Baksuvim. And the 10th Pasuk it would appear from the Gemara, that's an order to, 10th Pasuk is from Chumash, that's an order to enhance the Bakasha in the concluding paragraph. Because each one of the three brachas, Machzorin HaShofar, has to conclude with a Bakasha. The beginning of the Shema Ne'esrei, the Gimel Rishon is Shevach. In the end, we call Hoidoya. In the middle is the essence of the Tefillah, namely the Bakasha Tzarachim. So where is the Bakasha Tzarachim? The concluding paragraph. Elokeinu Kei V'Seinu, Melech HaKal HaOlam Kula B'Chvei Decho. Or Elokeinu Kei V'Seinu, So the concluding paragraph of each one of the three brachas is the Bakasha Tzarachim. So the Tanoim introduced that you should say an additional pasuk there to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of this. You promised us in the Torah that this is what you promised us is going to be a Malchias. So we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How do you translate the Pasuk, Hashem Echad? So the different interpretation, the Rambam says we believe in monotheism. Hashem Echad is only one God. Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi says, Hashem Shehu, Bizman HaZeh Elokeinu, the day will come that he will be Hashem Echad. All the mankind will recognize Malchus Hashem. Rashi's pshat is what the Tanaim understood in the Pasuk. Maybe that the Rambam said is also pshat. Maybe there's more than one level of pshat. But the Tanaim say that pasuk can serve as malchus. Why? That's what malchus means. That they will come. That all of mankind will recognize the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have, we say, so to enhance the bakasha, we say, as you promised us in the Torah, that they will come, that you will be Megala Malchuscha. The same thing in Zechonis and in Shofers, the 10th pasuk is really not a hemshech of the first 9 psukim. First 9 psukim are to prove that this Iker and Emunah appears in Tanakh. And then the 10th pasuk is to enhance the bakasha, that you yourself promised us that that's what's going to be in the future. So Rav Soloveitchik showed from the Gemara that this is what the Tanaim seem to be saying in the Gemara. They really, on Shabbos and Yontif, the Shemoneh Esrei, the Tefillah, the Amidah, has 7 brachas. The first 3, the last 3 are always the same. And then on Shabbos and Yontif, the middle bracha is the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. On Rosh Hashanah by Musaf, you want to add on another 3 brachas, Malchus Ven Shofar, so you should really have 7 plus 3 is equal to 10. So we don't do that. All the Tanoim are working on the premise you have to combine 2 brachas together, so you only have 9 brachas, you don't have 10. Why is that? Why do you have to combine 2 brachas together? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a Gemara in brachas, but the Gemara says Anshei Knesset HaGdola consisted of a body of 120 Talmid HaChamim, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, amongst them were several Nevi'im, and they were the ones who composed all the brachas and all the kedushas and Havdalas, Kiddush Havdalah, and all the Tfilas and so on. And what does the Gemara say? Behem Kama Nevi'im. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in his Sefer Nefesh HaChayim that to compose a Nusach HaTfilah that should last for centuries, for over 2,000 years. Anshei Knesset HaGdola were the beginning of Bayis Sheni period. There's well over 2,000 years. So you had to have a Koyach HaNevuah to compose such a Tfilah. So the Gemara says also, all of the Tfilas were based on Tfilas that appear in Tanakh, that you have a right to offer a tefillah that has 18 units. Or then they added v'lam al shinim, so you have to have a mokum in Tanakh, you have a right to offer a tefillah that has 19 units. On Shabbos, a tefillah that has 7 units. So everything is based on psukim. So then the Gemara says, tefillah schana mentions Shem Hashem 9 times. So that indicates to us that we have a right to offer a tefillah with 9 units. And there's no mokum in Tanakh that you can offer a tefillah with 10 units. So all the Tanaim assumed that the Rosh Hashanah Dik Shemoneh Esrei has to have 9 units, but there really should have been 10 brachas. So they're all working on the premise, they have to combine 2 brachas together. So the Tanaim had a machlek, is which 2 do you combine together? So we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that we combine together Malchus together with Kedushas Hayom. And at the conclusion, we join Melech Al Kol Haaretz, the Karis Yisrael B'Yamazikar. Melech HaKol Haaretz is the theme of Malchus. Karis Yisrael B'Yamazikar is the theme of Kedusha Sayyam. Like I said, the Karis Yisrael B'Hazmanim. So now you say the Karis Yisrael B'Yamazikar. Rabbi Yechman Nuri was of the opinion, why should you wait till the 4th bracha to introduce Malchus? The bracha about the Karis Yishim HaKadosh Kadosh B'Chayim HaMelech HaKadosh is anyway going to have the theme of Malchus. They have to change the Nusach to Malchus. So if you have a toss-up, you have an option. You can either introduce the Malchus, but all the 9 psukim in Melech HaKodesh or in Kedushas Hayom. So why not introduce it in the earlier bracha? Why wait till the later bracha? So Rabbi Yechman Nuri's practice was he had the whole Malchus in Atah Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh. Then the Gemara says that the 3rd Tana, I think Rabbi Gamliel, was of the opinion that just like on Shabbos and Yontif, Kedushas Hayom is always right in the dead center. The 4th bracha of 7 brachas on Rosh Hashanah, where we know we have to have 9 brachas, so Kedushas Hayom should be in the middle bracha, namely you should combine Kedushas Hayom together with Zechrinus. So that apparently was never followed. But the toss-up, the Machlekes in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechman Nuri, the Yerushalmi says that in half of Eretz Yisrael, they used to follow, in the Galil, they used to follow Rabbi Yechman Nuri. They used to recite Malchus in the bracha at the Kodesh. We don't follow that opinion. But Rab Chaim pointed out from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that once the Baal Tefillah Dama Farnamin, and he did like Rabbi Yechman Nuri on Rosh Hashanah. So if it would happen in our shul, we would start banging on the shtender and scream, and the rabbi would go over to the chazan and say, you don't do like that, you say later, you gotta say it all. after he finished davening, so they said, last year in Yavne, we didn't daven like that. Yesterday, we didn't daven like that. So the Gemara said, the next year, next Rosh Hashanah, there's only one day of Rosh Hashanah, the next year, Rosh Hashanah, the same Bat Tefillah daven, and he daven like Rabbi Akiva, and he said, Malchus together with the Kedusha Sayyim. So after he finished, they gave him a bigger Yashikach. That's the way we did it in Yavne. Why did they stop him in the middle? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, apparently it's like Nusach Sfarda, Nusach Ashka, Nusach Ari. The two Nuschos are Tefillah. It's a toss-up which is the more correct Nusach. If you do like Avichem and Nuri, apparently you're Yotze B'dieved. But they said, that's not the right Nusach. The Nusach always was like Rabbi Akiva. So that's our Nusach. We daven like Rabbi Akiva, we combine together Malchus with the Kedusha Sayyam. Okay. Let's see, Sunday we'll have a regular shiur, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll go back to Ksubis. And then I think Belineda on Tuesday. We're going to have a marathon of learning. Then maybe Tuesday we'll continue with Inyani Rosh Hashanah. So everyone is encouraged to stay for Shabbos. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting Shabbos. I apologize I can't be here. Family Simcha. Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah.